It's showtime.
With Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 25th day of March, 2024. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room, the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Why did I do that? 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between and the Great Globe Round. And whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. But if you're listening right now, well, you can pop on over to the chat room, the aforementioned Mary Wacky Zany, and you'll be greeted by the early arrivers, Ralps and Squeaky, and capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, Bud Trimmer Emeritus, and Zimmergist Extraordinaire, Roger, in Oregon. Hi, I'm Robin. It's Moran Monday. And we got some Moran Monday material. We actually have plenty of it. And so we will get into that in short order. But every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so we say thank you to our 25th, 24th, and 23rd day of the month subscribers. That means thank you, Peter. And thank you to Mark. And thanks as well to Lou in PA. Thank you to Dave at Mellow Moonlit Meadow. Thank you, Grace. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. Oh, and thank you, Samson. I don't know how I missed that on the first trip through. So here's where we stand. God, I get so tired of talking about fundraising. But last week, we managed to get last Monday covered. And so we've got 1,200 from last week, 1,500 for this week. So with this being the last five broadcast days of March, we'll just say that the fundraising goal is $2,700. And that's a lot, and I know it. And it scares the living bejesus out of me, quite honestly. As quick as it comes in, it's going out, because that's what the billing situation is. And we absolutely have to pay the internet bill right after this program. And so if we could finish off last Tuesday's fundraising before tomorrow arrives, that would be fantastic, because that would mean we would have a program tomorrow instead of me not having any internet. So that's where it is. I do my best. And, wow. But anyway, if you want to help out, the PayPal button's there at headon.live. The Postal Service still delivers to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801. And then, of course, if you want to go via Patreon, that tab is under contribute there at headon.live. It is downright toasty in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. Almost 79 degrees in here, and not even out of March. Tomorrow, the high will be like 50. So this is what, you know, is commonly referred to as pneumonia weather, or feels very much like it. Easter, yesterday was Palm Sunday. Easter is this Sunday. It's also Trans Day of Visibility. It's also my my mother's 99th birthday, if she were still with us. And I will spend the day thinking about her a lot more than I do Jesus. Although the fact is, she was deeply devoted to Jesus. So that's how we find ourselves beginning the program. And just checking to make sure all the packets are passing and the scream is screaming. More and more I'm having to go and... okay, this is actually a thing. If you reach out to me on Facebook, instead of just sending a contact request, say something to me. Like, you know, I'm a listener to the Horn or something like that. Because apparently more and more now on Skype, you know, fishers and fakes and, you know, the same thing that plagues every social media network. Didn't used to see so much of this. Now I see rather a lot. So into the Moran Monday tent we go. Once the news broke, I knew where the program would have to begin. Nitwit Nero caught a break. How's that work exactly? Anybody? Bueller? How do you take a court order for $454 million in disgorgement and just magically, without ever having heard the case itself, because the case can't be appealed till you even post the bond, knock the bond amount down to $175 million from $464. And give him 10 extra days to come up with the funding. Letitia James was obviously not happy. I would imagine she was probably actually furious. After the court and the court order became public, Attorney General James said the court has already found that he engaged in years of fraud to falsely inflate his net worth and unjustly enrich himself, his family, and his organization. The $464 million judgment plus interest against Donald Trump and the other defendants still stands. And even though he's gotten the break, he's still facing accountability for his, in her words, staggering fraud. Yeah, which it is. So it means that what was originally 120% bond, $545 million, is now just $175. And again, he's got, go figure, 10 more days to cobble it together. That having been said, it was to say the least. Well, I mean, I enjoyed it. Eric the Dumber, with that, who inherited his father's cat's ass mouth, went on Fox to piss and moan yesterday. It was at least somewhat, in part, gratifying. He was about halfway freaked out.
It's insane.
I'm trying to understand how this number came about, $454 million or $464 million, and what the real number is. How did they come up with this number?
You know what? It was a crooked number. There are no victims. There is no number. Right. The number should be zero. My father's run a great company. I run a great company. We've never had a default. We've never missed a payment. We've never been in a breach of covenant. Every single one.
Oh, something makes me think that if there was a living God up in the sky, Eric the Dumber would be a little greasy spot from the immediate lightning bolt that would have come down for saying we've never been in breach of covenant. Everyone who does business in New York City knows that Nitwit Nero stiffs contractors. He refuses to pay, and then eventually grudgingly pays a percentage of what he actually owes. And that no victims? The very nature that it is a disgorgement for in a tax fraud suit means that the entire state of New York is the victim. But, you know, Eric the Dumber can't go on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda talking to Maria Bartiromo and confess something like that. And remember, the judgment is also against him, Eric the damn Dumber, and his traitor tot brother, and Alan Weisselberg, and the executive staff of the Trump Organization, and, of course, Orange Julius Geezer himself. But nonetheless, the flailing was something.
One of our lenders came out, and he goes out, and the judge comes out and says, you know, I want to take disgorgement. I want to go back, and I want to take interest rates that you paid on mortgages and put it up to 10, 11, 12% and go back 20 years, and we already won this in the appellate court. The appellate court already said that there's a statute of limitation, that 99% of what he put in there is thrown out. But, Maria, this isn't about this. This is lawfare. They want to hurt my father, who is winning the presidential race right now. He's beating Biden in every single poll, in every single swing state. He came out and said he wants to put hundreds of millions of dollars of his own money into his campaign. Right. And how do they deprive him of that? They have that judge that you have on the screen right there come up with an astronomical number, give you zero time to post a bond that's not even commercially available.
Lie. The judgment order was entered, I believe, on February the 16th. It is now the 25th day of March. He has had over a month to come up with it. And that's a month that a lot of potential litigants would not get special treatment, to say the very least. And then to say it's a bond amount that has never been heard in a court in New York or in the world. No. In point of fact, there's one case that was heard in New York, Sony Music. Can't remember who the other side of it was. And they put up a bond that was nearly $1 billion. The appellant did in that case. The case was ultimately dismissed on appeal. But they had to put up the bond. And so, no, it is not unheard of, and no, it has not ever, never happened before. Oh, there is some tortured language. Not never. But the feigned outrage was just glorious.
In the United States, no one's ever seen a bond this size. Every single person, when I came to them saying, hey, can I get a $500 million bond?
This is the part that's funny. This is the part that's precious.
This size, every single person, when I came to them saying, hey, can I get a $500 million bond? Maria, they were laughing. They were laughing. Yeah. Top executives of the largest surety companies had never seen anything of this size. And what, they're going to start seizing assets? If he can't put up something that's not available in the United States?
You said
not available in the United States. Bullshit. But that's what got him. The surety companies and the bankers and the like were laughing at him. But I still don't necessarily know if Eric the Dumber fully comprehended why they were laughing at him. They were laughing at him because no responsible banker would ever give him so much as a damn dime. Because he'd rip them off. Because his entire career has been that of a rip-off artist. The fundamental equivalent of a three-card Monty dealer at a subway entrance somewhere. So over the weekend, I watched and I waited and I wonder how he's going to get out of this. And he didn't have to get out of it. The court got him out of it. I have defended to a certain extent the judicial system of the United States. But just as my defense of Merrick the Meek, for instance, has become weaker and weaker, so too my respect for the rule of law, at least at the appellate division of the state of New York. This looks like the kind of judicial shenanigans you'd expect out of Mississippi Stan or Florida or Alabama. What's one more fraud, asks Flavio. What a joke, this system. So star-spangled corruptible. I mean, $175 million isn't even half of what the judgment entered was. $464 million, that would be $232 million. And $175 million? So if he loses on appeal, can Letitia James even get the amount of the verdict? They didn't lower the verdict. They merely lowered the bond. But with the low bond, there's nothing to protect the assets that are duly and rightfully the property of the state of New York. Stephen, New York. Nobody's seen a bond this big. They were laughing because they knew how bad a credit risk he is. One question, though. Yes, $464 million is a lot of money. However, someone rich enough to the tune of $9 billion can easily afford $464 million. This is just another way of saying, I'm so rich I shouldn't have to pay. And apparently the appeals court agreeing with him. God, it makes me sick at my stomach. Matt in San Francisco with Stephen, New York adds, New York courts. I think you've heard me say I lost all respect for courts or judges here. You get why now? That's exactly what I was thinking about, Steve. I had no idea. I mean, you had spoken as, But, yeah. See, quote me in full, Flavio says. It wasn't that long a quote. No, but it's a reference to a visual. And that really doesn't help under these circumstances. So it, you said it was appropriate. What a joke to the system. So star spangled corruptible. I don't know what that next part is, Flavio, because I can't take time to go and watch a meme or something. So my apologies. Matt in San Francisco says, Trump, first thing I thought, where's a clumsy piano mover when you need one? Yeah, we're desperately short of anvils these days, too, Matt. But there was apparently a day when those things were fairly frequently to be seen, well, at least in Warner Brothers cartoons. Who was the big lummox that Bugs dropped a piano on in one episode, and the piano hits him and he's standing there and he, I'm feeling mighty low. Or the other, you all can just call me Shorty. Right. By the way. Courtesy of Ralph's. Andy Griffith predicts Trump. And this is from Democratic Underground. She says, so I'm offering a $25 challenge for Andy Griffith. Okay, yeah, that's a... it's a clip from... It's a video clip from 1972. So, yeah, the audio would be... I had a feeling that's what it would be. He's talking about his role in A Face in the Crowd, which, if you've never seen it before, is a brilliant film.
It was what it was the story of a man who was an entertainer who had some power, who had access to the media, to the television,
well,
who parlayed that into a political situation.
Yeah, he became, I guess people at that time didn't think it could happen. It can happen. It can happen. And has happened at times. It might be happening now. Who knows?
Who knows?
But this was a regular, just an interesting, energetic guy at the beginning, a free
kind. 1972, it may be happening now, Andy Griffith says. A rather obvious reference to Richard M. Nixon.
Kind of a man. And he discovered radio, and then he discovered television, and then he became accepted by people. And he became their folk hero. And then he started to manipulate them and tell them how to think. And they would do what he said do. And then he began to realize how much power he really had. And he started to influence the politicians. And he was about to launch this real loser into political office. When, when the country discovered him, by means of Patricia Neal, who played a role called Marcia. She left the audio switch open.
At the end of the
at
show?
At the end of a show, at the end of a program, and the people actually heard what he said, and he called them sheep, and he called them that they would do exactly what he said do, and how dumb and stupid they were. Then they turned him off, but mm-hmm. He took that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was strong. Who was that man?
Here's the place, though, where it diverges from reality. You can leave the mic on with Julius Geezer. He can look the maggots in the eye and tell them they're all a bunch of rubes and schmucks and that he's going to steal them blind. And the rubes and schmucks will reach for their wallets. Kevin Bacon. Thank you, sir. May I have another? I mean, how many times has he been caught telling people who he is? Sometimes I have to take a tic-tac. Because you never know when you're just going to go up and kiss somebody. You know, you can do that when you're famous. Kiss them, grab them by the pussy. You can do that when you're a celebrity. or, hey, I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and never lose a vote. See, this is the difference between Hollywood and reality. In Hollywood, things generally work out the way they're supposed to because people don't want to go to movies and walk out of the movie just having been devastated by a terrible ending. Things have there. Was it Aristotle in who established the unities relative to theater? And everybody likes a happy ending, or at least a just ending. We don't necessarily have that. This could be terrifying. This could become terrifyingly real. And the only thing standing between that and our future is us. Us. That's all. You, me, I, we, they, us. Working our asses off between now and November to make sure that he doesn't get near the reins of power again. Because if he does, we are well and truly screwed. Some of us more than others. Stephen New York points out the funny part. It's going to be rather funny when he still can't get a bond. Remember, he had a hard time getting a $90-plus million bond in the E. Jean Carroll case. Won't get one twice that size. So maybe, I don't know, Steve, maybe this is the means by which the New York Appellate Court gives him enough rope. Well, hell, we cut it to $175 million for you. That's not an unheard of bond. You're a brilliant businessman. You should be able to go out and get that. You should be able to cobble it together from Chubb and Nationwide and All Snake and Snake Farm and old Citibank and Wells Fargo. And sure, you can do that, can't you, Donnie? Randy Radar asking, did the judge just reverse himself? No, he didn't. Judge Ngoron hasn't said diddly. His judgment still stands. What happened was the New York Appeals Court said, okay, he can put up less surety, but he still has to put up a bond to continue the appeal. Or to be able to appeal. And so he's got to come up with the 175 or Letitia James starts coming after his shit in 10 days. Steve seems to be of the opinion that he won't be able to get it. Because he maxed him. And you know what? If you're a financial institution, you're going to look twice at it because he's already $94 million in the hole if his appeal to the United States Circuit Court of Appeals in the E. Jean Carroll cases doesn't work out. And there's more coming. If he won, try to just step back and imagine for a moment. And you'll sort out pretty quickly why the bankers are laughing. Good God, we're going to provide you a bond? You dumb motherfucker, you may be in the fucking clink, in the sneezer, in the cooler, in the Gray Bar Hotel, rattling your little tin cup across the bars and yelling, you filthy screws, let me out of here. And how are we going to get paid back if that's the case? How are you going to make money if Letitia James takes away your hotels and your tacky golf motels and your bedbug-ridden national golf clubs and whatnot? How are you going to do that? So, just, I guess where this is concerned, we sit and we wait and we watch. Kevin in Colorado Springs, two-tiered justice system. When you said that you knew after the news broke how the show would begin, I thought to myself, why bother? While I understand why you are beginning the show as you are, to me, this is just another example of the American injustice system where the rich who can afford the best lawyers and the best judges occasionally are coddled and given breaks that we of the common people are neither given nor can afford. Sigh. Just another example of American jurisprudence in an American aspirational democracy. It doesn't inspire confidence. And I don't know where there is a court that would. We got some Supreme Court news to talk about. We'll get to that eventually. Let's see. Dave and the Blind, and they called it stupidity. Hey, gang. It seems the stupider things you say, the more money you make. How is it that the donations to the Trump campaign go to divert to pay nitwit Nero's legal bills? In some cases, these were things that he did well before he ever ran for president. I think the court's trying to immunize itself from any judgment that it might make on appeal so it can't get into the federal system where Donnie will have his day. Also, remember, there are plenty of maggots in New York to cause trouble. I hate to say it, but it may be too late for the courts. Can somebody please take Donnie out in the middle of the Atlantic and make him walk the plank? Since shit floats, he should be able to make it to shore quite easily. Your buddy, Dave and the Blind. Well, some floats. But then again, he's a gassy fucker, so he probably would. What might be the real fear, Steve in New York says? Am I being alarmist? My queasy gizzard tells me once he loses the appeal or can't get the bond, the maggots might just get a tad violent. Interesting you would say that. I saw something to that effect a little before airtime. Oh, yeah, that. The man with the big, giant head. The big, giant, empty head that could serve as the screen for a drive-in movie theater. Charlie Kirk. Yeah. Check this out.
This upcoming election, how important this is, how critical this is, and what the church can be doing to make a difference. So, well, you know, so this doesn't happen again. We gotta do something.
I love the question. And so I'm going to start unusually. I want to make sure that we all make a commitment that if this election doesn't go our way, the next day we fight. That's a very important thing. And I know I get golf applause because a lot of people don't want to hear that. They say, what do you mean it doesn't go our way? It has to go our way. We have to win. I agree. But if your answer is no, I'm not going to fight if I don't get my way, then you are a summer, sunny, what they called in the Sunshine Patriot, not ready for the winter storm. And there were a lot of people, by the way, that were all on board for the American Revolution as long as it was 73 degrees and sunny. And as soon as they had to march through the winter and fight a smallpox epidemic, they said, forget this, you know, liberty sounds nice, but I like the King George a lot. So they kind of got out of the way. So you have to commit yourself to that.
You got it? He's saying he's ready to do violence if this election doesn't go our way. Not if we don't win. No. If we don't get what we want, we burn the place to the ground. Burn, baby, burn. And it goes back to what we've been saying since January 6, 2021. God, 3 years ago, you know? Namely, an insurrection insufficiently punished becomes a dress rehearsal for the one that succeeds. They're trying to intimidate American voters into putting that fucker back in office, or else they'll fight. Well, I don't know how Meal Team 6 is going to pull it off. And don't be on the day after the election, don't be looking for Charlie Kirk at the barricades. He'll be leading from the rear, y'all. But the fact of the matter is, there aren't enough people doing anywhere near enough time in prison to discourage further participation. You know, when right-wingers get a hard-on to start murdering people in the name of the state, they always say that the death penalty has a deterrent effect on the commission of murder. There is not a single study that says anything remotely like that, but they say it just the same. Well, there is a deterrent effect to punishing traitors, seditionists, and insurrectionists. But you have to be willing to do it, and busting somebody for what is essentially criminal trespass doesn't exactly send the message that insurrection will not be tolerated. I want to make sure we all make a commitment that if this election doesn't go our way, the next day we fight. Usually if we say something like that even on in a space on this side of the political divide, we follow it up with something like legally and peacefully, of course. That ain't in the maggot DNA. Not by a long shot. Dave in South Carolina stand, quality lawyers? Does he really hire high-quality lawyers? Evidently, the quality of his lawyers does not matter as he gets his way regardless. Why rent lawyers when you can own judges? I'm not going to give you hell for that. You're not necessarily wrong. Quality lawyers? I mean, come on. Counsel for the parking garage, she said it herself, she'd rather be pretty than smart. And she got her wish. And anybody with any actual legal talent has gotten as far away from him as they possibly can. Look at Tim Parlatore. He's out there now doing interviews about how bad the lawyering for Nitwit Nero truly is. But you may very well be correct, David. You may not need quality lawyers. MILF money. Todd asks, what if the MILF's creditors start calling in debts as his demise nears? What if indeed? I mean, and that's, you know, that's the heart of this. Would you give a bond? Would you provide a bond to a guy who probably won't win his appeal? And you'll have to pay and the bond will then have to be made liquid to satisfy the debts. And then what? He'll stiff the bonding company? Of course he'll stiff the bonding company. Oh, a little piece of breaking news right quick from the New York Times. Federal agents have raided a home said to be connected to, some sketchy language, Sean Puffy Combs, the music mogul who's been accused of sexual assault and sex trafficking. Mr. Combs, known as Puff Daddy or Diddy, has been dogged for decades by accusations of sexual violence. That'll be interesting to watch develop. Flavio said he'll get a bailout, Nitwit Nero will, from Putin or MBS, and he'll launder it through one of his LLCs or something. Maybe just through the National Ruble, I mean Rifle Association. But laundering that much money and keeping it from being noticed? I don't think that's so easy to do. But then again, maybe it won't matter. Yeah, I mentioned Aristotle. The classical unities, as described in the Poetics, unity of action, a tragedy should have one principal action. Unity of time, the action in a tragedy should occur over a period of no more than 24 hours. And unity of place, a tragedy should exist in a single physical location. Yeah, been thinking about theater and how it works. Chekhov did some of this stuff too, his theory of the loaded gun. You can't bring a loaded gun on stage without having it be fired at some point in time, because otherwise the audience gets all nervous about it. So, yeah, Steve, I think they're looking, I think the maggots are looking for any excuse to do violence. It's kind of their MO now, isn't it? If this election doesn't go our way, the next day we fight. And wasn't it curious in that clip that he said, you know, I'm getting the polite golf applause because nobody wants to think it's not going to go our way. Ah, could it be that the maggots there were thinking that, or at least some of them were thinking that if you lose an election straight up, you don't have a revolution because you didn't win? Or, revolution my ass, you don't have an insurrection? Because that would be my thought. Well, you know, I've lost a lot of presidential elections where the guy I voted for didn't win, and one in which the woman I voted for didn't win. And I have grieved them fiercely each time. Broke my heart when Jimmy Carter lost. And Michael Dukakis was a decent man. Far more decent than George H.W. Bush ever was. Jesus, Al Gore. I don't know if I'm over that one yet. Or the fact that there's aspects of the election of 2000 that is like, well, hillbilly revenge. If West Virginia had voted the way it usually voted, Florida and all those hanging chads wouldn't have mattered. Ralphs says, I would think Judge Barbara Jones would find that out. Perhaps. But since Flavio brought it up, saying, all the hosts on MSNBC are pissed. I'm enjoying the outrage. I think there was a lot of outrage on the part of viewers, too. Well, there I was this morning, having my morning decaf and checking in on my filthy morning habit. And honestly, I was kind of impressed by what the Morning Joe, Morning Zoo crew had to say about the hiring of Ronna Romney McDaniel. And they didn't just say this is a bad idea. They proved it.
It's governing by gesture. And also, just as John said, almost like a cult-like fealty to a fearless leader. And so time and time again, you do things against your interest. When pushed, you, in the words of somebody we're about to talk about, you take one for the team.
So why don't we go there?
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about the hiring of former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel.
Well, she was on Sunday's Meet the Press. It was her first appearance since the NBC News hired her as a political analyst. I know you won't be surprised to know that we've been inundated with calls this weekend, as have most people connected with this network, about NBC's decision to hire her. We learned about the hiring when we read about it in the press on Friday. We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it for several reasons, including, but not limited to, as lawyers might say, Ms. McDaniel's role in Donald Trump's fake elector scheme and her pressuring election officials to not certify election results while Donald Trump was on the phone.
To be clear, we believe NBC News should seek out conservative Republican voices to provide balance in their election coverage, but it should be conservative Republicans, not a person who used her position of power to be an anti-democracy election denier, and we hope NBC will reconsider its decision. It goes without saying that she will not be a guest on Morning Joe in her capacity as a paid contributor. Here's why.
But to the question, though, do you disagree with Trump saying he's going to free those who've been charged?
I do not think people who committed violent acts on January 6th should be freed.
So you disagree with that? He's been saying that for months. Ronna, why not speak out earlier? Why just speak out about that now?
When you're the RNC chair, you kind of take one for the whole team, right? Now I get to be a little bit more myself, right?
Well, this is what you said a year ago to Chris Wallace. I want to play you what you said.
Are you saying, as the chair of the Republican Party, that you still have questions as to whether or not Joe Biden was duly elected president?
Joe Biden's the president.
No, I didn't ask you whether he's the president.
No, I don't think that. Do you think he
won the election?
I think there were lots of problems with 2020.
He won the election. Pardon?
But ultimately, he won the election, but there were lots of problems with the 2020 election. 100%.
And that's fair.
But I don't think he won it fair. I don't. I'm not going to say that.
So you didn't say he won it fair at that point. Can you say, as you sit here today, did Joe Biden win the election fair and square?
He won. He's the legitimate president.
Did he win fair and square?
Fair and square he won. It's certified. It's done. But I'm going to push back a little, because I do think it's fair to say there were problems in 2020. And to say that does not mean he's not the legitimate president. When you...
So John Meacham. Exhausting. But we don't need to sort through a lot here. Let's just focus in on what I think history will focus in on, if you don't mind me stepping into your lane for a minute. Because she really summed up the sickness in the Republican Party when asked by Kristen Welker, why did you go along with the whitewashing of political violence? Why didn't you speak out against those who tried to overturn American democracy, those who beat the hell out of cops, those who rioted at the United States Capitol at the instruction of Donald Trump, at the guidance of Donald Trump, the inspiration of Donald Trump? Why not? She said, sometimes you have to take one for the team. I suppose that's what Lindsey Graham will tell us after all of this is over, what Marco Rubio might tell us after all of this is over. I could go down
what team
the,
are we talking
the,
about?
I could go down exactly. The long list of people that used to be conservative Republicans who are now a member of Donald Trump's cult. But I do think those words, take one for the team, when you're asked why you didn't stand up and speak out against political violence that was focused on overturning American democracy, I think those are words that unfortunately describe the Republican Party over the past 7 years.
It encapsulates the central problem of the age, and it encapsulates in many ways the existential question that we face. if it's your team and it's not reason, logic, decency, and the Constitution, and it's the team that's the most important and you're in the arena, then in my opinion, you are not being true to an American tradition of constitutional consensus where we fight about issues, we try to come to a resolution for a given period of time, and if you lose, you run in the next election and you try to win. And you endure and you don't actually marshal the forces of violence and the forces of just reflexive disruption because you want to win. And, mm-hmm. It's not simple, but it is straightforward. And taking one for the team is the problem because the team is not as important as the rule of law, the Constitution. You know, a lot of folks from Omaha Beach to the Edmund Pettus Bridge shed a lot of blood so that we wouldn't just take one for our team, we would try to take one for the Constitution. And I think that's the stakes of the age. And I don't mean to be preachy about it, and Lord knows I make mistakes all the time.
Not preaching.
So I'm not, I think this is it. And I think you're exactly right. And the thing that drives me crazy than I usually am, is if you and I know, let's not even say dozens, we know scores of people in public life, most of the folks who are listening to us right now would know or be dimly aware of, who, if Donald Trump were a Rockefeller Republican, would be Rockefeller Republicans today.
Right.
It's not about the merits of the argument. It's about maintaining power. And when that becomes your central question, that's the failure.
John, it's not ideology. It's not ideology.
No. This is blind devotion to an evil man. But I'm proud of him for saying that they will not allow Ronna Romney McDaniel on their air. Of course, they don't necessarily. That's the disturbing thing. They don't necessarily get to make that call. If the suits upstairs say do it, they have to do it. But they may just, I don't know where the line in the sand is for those two. I don't know if they would walk if they were compelled to have that vulgar liar on their program. Oh, let's go back to Manhattan. Well, stay in. I mean, Rockefeller Center's in Manhattan. So, apparently, at the hush money election interference, as Steve pointed out, I think it was Steve, at the election interference hush money hearing today, things got a little snippy. CNN's chief legal affairs correspondent, Paula Reed, was outside the courthouse, and, because it's a federal court, so we the people are not allowed to see what actually goes on in there, because, we just don't have those kinds of rights. But apparently things got nasty.
Yeah, it is central to his image. His wealth has always been
at the center of that, something he campaigned on in 2016 and took him into the White House, and something that is now at real threat. But Jim, obviously his attorneys are not, that is not the foremost issue that they are dealing with right now, because those same attorneys are inside this courthouse behind me here in Manhattan, as we are waiting to see if the judge here, Judge Juan Merchan, decides when this case could go forward. This is the criminal hush money probe that was supposed to begin today, but was delayed because of documents that were not turned over to Trump's legal team. They are accusing the district attorney's office of a violation here, and that is the heart of what they're arguing about right now inside the courtroom behind us. We have CNN's Paula Reed and Kristen Holmes here with me. And Paula, we're getting live updates from inside the courtroom, and it's actually getting quite testy in there, where the judge has just raised his voice for the first time as he is pressing Trump's legal team about what is a pretty extraordinary allegation that they are making against the district attorney's office.
That's right. They have accused the district attorney's office of professional misconduct, prosecutorial misconduct. They've even suggested that they should be sanctioned. And the judge said, look, that's a, quote, incredibly serious, unbelievably serious accusation. Not only are you accusing the prosecutor's office of misconduct, but you're also trying to make me, the judge, complicit in it. And he pressed the Trump legal team to come up with some case law, some specifics to support this allegation. Because the reason we're here today for this hearing and not for the first day of the trial is that federal prosecutors handed over hundred thousand documents. Now, that was not the Manhattan district attorney that did that. Those are federal prosecutors. So the judge here is pressing the Trump attorneys on why you can accuse the Manhattan District Attorney's Office of prosecutorial misconduct because the Justice Department didn't hand something over. Now, the Trump attorneys argue that the District Attorney's Office should have pushed for these documents themselves. They should have asked for these specific materials, and they're having a pretty intense exchange now with the judge. Now, again, this is the first time the judge has really raised his voice, saying the fact that they don't even have any case law to support this very serious accusation is, quote, really disconcerting. So our colleagues tell us that the judge, Judge Juan Merchan, he has been pretty level throughout the hearing, but he's gotten a lot more animated. And it's interesting because this shows that he's not going to tolerate just these throwaway accusations that someone is corrupt, right, or that they're engaging in misconduct. And he is holding their feet to the fire, asking for actual proof, support, case law for this accusation. So this is significant and maybe a preview of how the judge will handle this trial.
And when Trump's legal team walked into this, Kristen, I mean, they clearly don't seem to actually think they're going to get it dismissed, even though they are asking for that and a delay if they don't get it dismissed. What was their tactic kind of going into this today when it came to these documents? Because right now they haven't been able to tell the judge a specific number of documents that they believe they'll have to review before this case can proceed.
What they wanted to do here is to try and explain that every single document that was turned over was relevant in some way, because the more documents that are relevant of this 100,000, the longer that this trial will be delayed, because then the legal team will have to actually be able to go through that. So really the strategy here is, how can we draw this out as long as possible? As we've talked about, part of that is also, can we push this up close to the November election? They believe the closer this gets to November, the more difficult it's going to be to have a trial at that time, the more politically explosive it's going to be at that time. The other thing I wanted to point out here is, one of the things that our colleagues were saying was what Trump was doing in the courtroom. A lot of leaning back in his chair, folding his arms, and looking at Todd Blanche. Todd Blanche has really become Donald Trump's favorite lawyer of the lawyers that he has. He believes that he's the fighter. He believes that he's out there. But this is interesting to see Todd Blanche having essentially a moment with this judge. Donald Trump really wants to see his lawyers pushing the envelope, pushing for sanctions, pushing his people to call for this.
Well, and clearly what we are getting from witnessing this right now, listening to what questions the judge is asking, is he is very skeptical of Trump's allegations, against Trump's legal team's allegations against the district attorney's office. And essentially what he seems to be asking is it the district attorney, Alvin Bragg's, obligation to get the Southern District of New York, to get them to turn over these documents?
And that's the heart of the disagreement here, because the Trump attorneys are saying, look, this was the district attorney's job. They should have gone to federal prosecutors and asked for all of this. But the judge is pushing back on that, saying, no, it's actually not, he calls them the people, because they represent the people of Manhattan, the people's job to do this. And I think this is important, because this is showing that the judge, not only is he upset at the fact that they made this accusation, and cannot support it. He's really showing how he's going to handle a criminal trial here. He's not going to allow the Trump team to get away with making accusations they cannot support with facts or case law. And that is significant because, as we've reported so many times, this is part of defending the former president. You are not only playing for either judge or jury, you're also playing for your client and playing to your client often. And that can be difficult for attorneys when they're in a courtroom.
I mean, it would have been helpful if she had pointed out that this blame everybody but strategy is the only legal strategy he's employed. He barked and grunted and hooted all the way through the E. Jean Carroll trial that he should be allowed to retry liability. And no, there's no good reason for that. And of course, he's barking and grunting about something similar relative to, I mean, you heard it earlier in the program from Eric the Dumber when he said, we've already won in the appeals court. We've already won at the appellate level. Well, no, dipshit, you didn't. This is what you were left with. Now, you probably hate your baby sister because she got let out of the case because of the statute of limitations. And maybe, she's the outlet. But, Eric, honey, he's never going to love you or Donnie the way he loves her. And by the way, the election interference the remark was from Roger in Oregon. Steve in New York corrected me and said, credit where it's due. Okay, thank you for that. I'm confused, Steve says. I thought the whole point of the new documents was that Bragg didn't know about them. Is that not the case? If that's the case, how could Bragg have demanded production of something he didn't know about? I'm not entirely squared away on this either. I don't know if anyone is, Steve. But it seems like the vast majority of the fault lies with the U.S. Attorney's Office. And the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York is notorious for not working and playing well with others. And to the extent that everybody there is not necessarily a political hire, there may still be people there from corrupt U.S. attorneys from Rudy Giuliani's time. Because that was, we see what Rudy's become. He's become what he always quietly and privately was. A punk and a thug. Oh, thanks, Fabio. Morning Joe was awesome. And we will not have Rana on our program. Liz Cheney weighed in, too. Rana facilitated Trump's corrupt fake elector plot and his effort to pressure Michigan officials not to certify the legitimate election outcome. She spread his lies and called 1-6 legitimate political discourse. That's not taking one for the team. It's enabling criminality and depravity. Yeah, it is. And, that's really damning coming from Cheney. Not saying, just saying. So, like I said, it's rather a busy day. We are past the top of the hour. I have Phil Rockstered for over an hour now. Ralph's Andy Griffith challenge is still on the table. That would take us down to $2,650 to go. We rather desperately need to fund more of last week. We need to fund last Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever we can do so that there will be a program tomorrow. Because otherwise, there won't. Not saying, just saying. By the way, if you listen to the podcast. Please like every episode. And make sure you're subscribed. Leave a comment here and there. That would be helpful. And again, I apologize for the fundraising appeals. But we are just short of, I mean, if everything stays exactly like this, we are just short of a half of a month, a day short of 2 full weeks unfunded. And it can't work. And the things that make this program go are due and owing. So are my property taxes. So is my health insurance premium. All told, everything that comes in goes out. And doesn't go toward the re-excavation of the Olympic-sized pancreas-shaped swimming pool. Ralph says, come on, everybody, please contribute. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you. God knows Ralph does so much. And it is so appreciated, Ralph. I appreciate it so very much. Well, you heard the Skype ring in there. Let's see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, hey there. Hi there. Ho there.
Who you calling a ho?
Well, it takes one to know one.
Girl.
Greetings from, you know, back from my trip to Mexico. And the sunburn, y'all. I am now at the peeling phase of the sunburn.
Oh, God. Has that ever happened to you before?
Never.
Itches, don't it?
Oh, bitch. Is that itching your family? The itching has finally pretty much subsided. But, bitch. Oh, Jesus Christ on a cracker. Oh, my God.
I knew that was coming.
How do you people deal with this? Girl, I never, ever, 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 nigga. Oh, my God. It's just like, when I didn't realize that I was peeling until this morning when I got ready for work. And I was just like, oh, this is ridiculous. I don't get that shit.
Okay, I'm asking way too many questions, but this is all experientially based. Have you had a nice hot shower yet?
I've had my shower and it didn't bother me. The burn, it didn't bother me.
Oh, when it's fresh, and you hit it with a hot shower. Whew.
Well, see, because the next morning, you know, so the next morning, because you know what? No, because I guess I didn't really shower because it's like I've heard tales and I'm like, oh, little bitch. No. But it was bad. I got blisters.
Yeah. You've got a radiant. I mean, come on, let's, you know, oh, it's a sunburn. You have a radiation burn.
Girl, I'm like, somebody said, you know that's like a second degree burn. I'm like, bitch. Oh, the level of anger that I am feeling right now.
Who are you mad at?
I can't even explain it to you. I cannot, and I'm just pissed. This shit hurts. I mean, it doesn't hurt anymore. And again, thank you, Dave, for, you know, in the blind for the aloe vera in the refrigerator. Oh, that's the best thing since, I don't know, sliced bread.
Kind of saved you, didn't it?
Yes. Because this is something that I've never thought I would experience. Like I said, look, I know black people get sunburned. I'm not stupid like that. But I had on sunscreen, and like I said, fuck this shit. Next time, I swear, goddamn burka. Or just fuck it. And there will be no sunscreen. sunscreen, it would be fucking sunblock.
Well, I mean, they're, yeah. SPF 50 or above.
There's another thing. I'm like, I was telling somebody, I said, what is that shit? SPF? What? Girl. Lesson learned. What is that? You know, experience is a good teacher.
And when you are, you know, if it gets really bad, Solarcaine or Unguentine, if they still make that.
Oh, no, bitch. I got me some Solarcaine with the aloe vera. I was just like, that stuff felt so good going on my skin. It almost made me cry. I was just like, oh, God.
When I was little, Unguentine came in a canister that made it that looked like a fire extinguisher. It was cute.
And rightfully so.
I just got a question. Steve in New York, not being a jerk or anything. What's going on in Tracy's sound, he asks.
I don't know. Let me see. Hold on. Is that better?
Yes, I hope. Okay. Because you were, one minute you'd be okay, and then the next minute you'd sound like you were in the bottom of a rain barrel.
Motherfuckers. So, yeah, no.
Is that kick-ass Bose Bluetooth again?
You know what? Fuck you, bitch. That part.
Just asking questions.
So, whatever. But other than the sunburn and the racism, oh, yeah, there was racism.
Really?
So we went to they had this show called Boogie Night. So it's supposed to be about, you know, disco music and stuff. So the pre-show, they had video clips of all these old school dance movies, you know. And they had, you know, disco music and 70s funk music on the overlay. And it was cool. And I'm watching, you know, we're talking, you know, Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, Gene Kelly, Jane Powell, you know, the hoofers and the stuff. And the whole time I'm sitting there watching, saying, please no blackface, please no blackface. And guess what?
There was.
There was. So
Who was it?
There was two different scenes. So I was like, okay, so that was that one. And then the very next day, I went, because Jan was still recovering. Southern tequila does not mix well for folks. And my wife, this is only the second time in the 12 years that we've been together that my wife was drunk off her ass, and it was fucking hilarious. So we
did she feel great next day?
She wasn't. Well, let's just say that day of the tequila and the sun, I had to basically carry her to the room and put her in the bed, and she did not move until the next morning.
Did she worship at the porcelain shrine?
No. It was not that bad. She felt as though at any minute she would. So I made her drink a lot of water. I gave her some crackers and stuff like that, and she was fine. So while she was in the room, so then the next day we went on a day trip to Bayou Vista, which I would not recommend. And then we came back because it was kind of sunny there as well. The only good part about that day trip was the fact that I went to a pharmacia and got some Solarcaine. That was the highlight of that day. So I got her back to the room, and she promptly went to sleep. So I went, you know, exploring, and I decided, ooh, I'm going to go get tacos. So, because like I said, all-inclusive resort, food included, and as well as alcohol. So I got a taco al pastor. It was wonderful. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have another one.
I love al pastor. Oh.
Oh, my. And, girl, this one was on a flour tortilla, a taco-sized flour tortilla
with, of course, the pineapple and, you know, some guacamole and cheese. Oh, this. So anyway, Hugh, I'm like, you know what? This shit is good. I'm going to have another one. So I motion over for the waiter. And as he's walking toward me, a group of white people walk in. I was there first. And so he starts helping the group of white people. I'm like, okay, I'm going to cut him some slack because he had to walk through them to get to me. But then the second group of white people walked in. And then the third group of white people walked in. And then after he finished with them, then he helped the Latinx families that were coming in. So 20 minutes later, you know I'm fuming. 20 minutes later, he's like, Miss Tracy, what can I get you? I said, absolutely nothing, but let me tell you about yourself. And then he tries, oh, but I was busy. I'm like, no. I was here first. And the only thing you had to do was tell the people who were waiting, you know, to say, can you wait a moment? I have to help this person because she was there first.
Yeah, I'll be right with you.
I'll be right with you. So I left pissed because at that point I didn't want anything to eat. And I just kind of wandered around the resort. And I found myself at all the way at the end of the resort having, and I think, did I send you the picture of the margarita with the pigs, with the ocean? I did a video of
Bones. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So that's what I was contemplating while I was, and I'm like, and I, that calmed me down. But anywho, so when Jen and I left on Friday, they asked us how we thought, what we thought about the place, and I let them have it. I'm like, I said, you know, I know this is, you know, I'm in another country, and you guys don't have the same experience with blackface as we do in the United States. But I'm here to tell you, you are very fortunate that I was the only black person in the audience at the time, because you would have more than one person complaining, and I told them about that. And that, and they're like, well, is there anything we could do, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, at this moment, they said, well, if, you know, next time you come back, I said, what makes you think I'm coming back here? I said, had this happened before I extended my trip, I would not have extended my trip. And I just, it was
I'm so sorry that happened.
You know, it's just,
because it's just so fucking gross.
It's just disgusting. And then they were falling all over themselves. And I'm like, I said, well, what you can do for me is pay for us to go back to the airport at this moment. I still have to think about what else I want you to do. But right now, you can go ahead and pay for our trip back to the airport. And I, you know, but it's just, but all that aside, we had a good time. Aside from the sunburn and the racism.
Sunburns and racism notwithstanding, we had a lovely trip.
You know, that's right. If there was so much, you know, aside from that, so how did you enjoy the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
You're right.
But
you said you were further from actual Puerto Vallarta than you had planned, than you had thought you would be. So there'll be a next time for Puerto Vallarta, just not that particular resort.
Not that particular resort. And the resort that I wanted to stay at in the first place, that was closer to town, that was basically in town, and blah blah blah. But the food was amazing. And the service, I have to say, y'all, that the service was ridiculously. I mean, you couldn't, if you sneeze, it's like, is there anything I could get you to eat fish? I mean, I'm telling you, they did not, your glass, if they was just a quarter, you know, a half of a margarita left in your glass, are you ready for your next margarita? Are you ready for your next shot? What else can we get you? I tried octopus for the first and last time.
first and last. How was it prepared?
It was actually, like I said, it was good. It was grilled with some amazing, actually like some like citrusy, like a kind of like a ponzu marinade ish something.
Yeah, I think I mentioned, I mean, I've had it, but once I began to learn just how freaking intelligent octopi are, it seemed kind of unfair. Because when I saw that one viral video of the octopus beating the shit out of the shark,
right?
It's like, no, you're the baddest thing on the ocean floor. Let's not eat you.
Let's not eat you. But no, it was just wonderful. And then, so we got back Friday, and we parked in long-term parking, only to get home, and our battery was dead.
Did you leave the thing? Did you leave your charger?
No. I am very cognizant about turning shit off. There's something electrical. There's something draining battery. So Jan took it to the Subaru shop today, and they're doing a diagnostic.
Y'all took the lesbian Subaru. The white lesbian Subaru.
You know, bitch. You know, God don't like ugly, but you don't believe in God anyway. So what difference does it make?
Get me the solar cane.
Burn.
Oh, I need to thank, by the way, I need to thank Henry and Brendan. Thank you so much. Ralph's Andy Griffith challenge got met. And this is some big news. I really stayed busy over the weekend. I was just trying to kind of keep my, keep my wits about me, keep my head cleared, and give myself a couple of days. And so I missed an email that came.
Wait, what was going on over the weekend? What was happening over the weekend?
Oh, you know, every time I turned on the TV, there was, you know, it was Moscow, and it was wall to wall. Will he be able to pay for his bond? You know, sometimes if I do that, I'll just sit there and vegetate in front of the screen. But the days were pretty. And so I got outside, and well, like yesterday, I wrote to Cynthia and told her how that sous vide machine has changed my life.
So?
And I was at Kroger's, and since St. Patrick's Day has come and gone, their briskets were half off.
Sweet.
So I got a $30 brisket for $15, which felt like a win. And I sous vide'd that thing. And then so yesterday I got up and I made a dozen Reubens.
Oh, bitch.
And grilled them and took them across the river to all my friends and my daughter Margie. And they were very well received. Two of the people I took it to, they said the same thing at the same time. I've never had anything this good in a restaurant. This is better than a restaurant. So that was gratifying. And, I just got into cooking mode. But anyway, I missed this email from Kat. Otherwise, I would have begun the program with it.
He did.
Kat sent a message, subject line, challenge. It's the, get this, Tracy, dig this. Keep our girl Robin's head above the water challenge. It's good until the end of the month. This is for $1,000. Big bucks. No whammies. Won't pay unless met by the 31st. Got a week to meet this. Y'all can do this. And that would, yeah, that would knock out. If we can raise $1,000, Kat's going to double that. And that'll,
oh my God.
Yeah, so that'll get us close to fully funded for the month of March, and it'll make it possible for me to pay the internet's got to be paid by tomorrow, or by tonight actually, or no show tomorrow, and then you know the cell phone bill and the my property taxes and the relentless West Virginia American Water shareholder servicing and coal fried electricity and all of that. And this is amazing, Kat. Thank you so, so much. I can't thank you enough. So beginning right now, almost at the halfway point of this Monday broadcast, if we can raise $1,000, Kat will double it. And I will be able to breathe. If we can do Tuesday, you know, last Tuesday, what in God's name was that? If we can get Tuesday funded today, then I can, you know, there will be a show tomorrow, which is really important. So thank you again, Kat. And there's, again, $1,000 challenge. $1,000. And wow, that's
huge.
Awesome. Could you stand by for a second, Tracy?
Sure.
There's some sort of weird noise going on, and I gotta find out what it is. I'll be right back. Tracy, I'm so sorry. I don't know what was going on.
Can you hear? Is it done now? Did you figure it out?
Well, I don't know what it was. I thought maybe it was like an EBS test or something coming over the phone or something. But it wasn't. And when I took my headphones off, it sounded. Did you hear it?
No, I didn't hear a thing.
Okay, well, I checked in with Annette, and she's like, it sounded like a railroad train.
That is so weird. Nope, I didn't hear a gun.
There aren't any rail lines anywhere. The nearest rail lines are down in the gorge. But the thing is, it sounded like it was behind me when the highway is in front of me.
Wow. Like that episode of I Love Lucy when they stay at that shack and every time the train goes by, the bamboos from one side of the house to the other.
Yeah.
It sounded like the train was like going through your living room.
It was almost like the first blast was kind of like a calliope. Then the second blast was like a train and you know, blue skies, so on a tornado. Sounds like a train. So I don't know what it was, but, you know, I walked back into the mansion, and Annette was looking out the front door. I'd already looked out the back door. I mean, these are not the mean streets of L.A., Tracy. We get explosions. That's what we get. We get explosions. And occasionally some semi on their Jake brakes coming down the hill and going into Anstead and slowing down because it's a speed trap. I don't know. Maybe it was the next door neighbors and, you know, their... I don't know. Maybe it was the horn on their rolling coal, great big, gigantic four-wheel drive truck. I got nothing.
Wow.
Well, I'm just glad nothing was, you know, there was no, nothing emergent was going on. That's...
Yeah, that's the thing. It was like, huh?
But, so, you were talking about, so, I would love to know what Letitia James is right now thinking about. I wonder how many times she said, this motherfucker.
I went to the very same place, and I bet you Matt in San Francisco did too. This motherfucker. Hmm.
You know, it's like, how much more is he going to get away with? I mean, they reduced that shit by 60%?
I know. Yeah. I mean, I ain't no good with ciphering, but once you take the millions away from it, it's just basic long division.
That part.
Because 464 million divided by 2 is 232.
Right.
I mean, and I guess it's within the discretion of the appellate court, but the thing is, they can't rule on the case because he hasn't put up the bond. So they did basically all the dirty work that they could do for now, and that is to lower the bond from the actual amount of the judgment to, as you said, 40% of it.
Wow. Good work if you can get it.
I reckon.
That's, you know, the capacity of it all. I just, this break, I mean, girl.
Doesn't it say something that the majority of people who are trying to use the legal system to bring him to justice are black folks? Letitia James,
yes.
Alvin Bragg, Fonnie Willis.
That part. What's wrong with you people? Yeah, just you people. What's wrong with you white folks? Jesus fucking Christ.
I know.
And so right when they say that there is not a, you know, there's no, the justice system is for everybody and there's no differential, fuck y'all.
Now he's Jesus.
Huh?
Did you catch that one? And you know, it's one of those, someone showed me some, I saw this from someone, and of course he didn't. This is just straight up, it's just, if one is an actual real Christian, this is disgusting. He posted a tripe on Tripe Social. And he said, I got this from a supporter. And said, it's ironic that Christ walked through his greatest persecution the very week they're trying to steal your property from you, his supporter said.
Wait. Okay.
A Bible verse from Psalms. They have surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set a wicked man over him and let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him be found guilty and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few and let another take his office. Remember when they were praying that imprecatory prayer over Obama, let his days be few?
Right.
And his wife a widow and his children orphans or fatherless. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, here we are.
I could have lived my entire life without hearing that shit, sis. Jan and I just got back on Friday, and I did not, like I said, I had internet access, crazy fast Wi-Fi in Mexico, okay, at our hotel.
Go to South Korea sometime. That is
really
crazy fast internet.
And so, but I got no news. None. Because I didn't want any. And so I had no idea about half the shit that was going on in the States.
Was it kind of nice to unplug?
Girl, I can't even explain to you how nice it was to not hear his bidding. I really didn't even hear any news until yesterday, really. So I didn't hear any of his braying and his, So, but the first thing I heard, my very first bit of news that I heard this morning was about how they reduced his judgment by 60%. I mean, not the judgment, but the bond by 60%. And then gave the motherfucker 10 more days, 10 extra days.
You know, the incredulity in your voice says it all.
Oh, and then have you heard about those ugly ass sneakers? Now Louis Vuitton is coming. You know, they're trying to figure out what to do because the soles of the sneakers are red.
Yeah, so he may get sued over that.
I mean, that should have trademarked. I mean, come on. And the worst part is, you know, that shit is made in China.
Sure. Sweatshop labor.
Sweatshop labor. And so these are the things that I heard when Mama Tracy got back home. Little Marco Rubio going on about the attack that happened in Russia, saying that, you know, this is why we need stronger border control, because they're going to come here too, ISIS. And then Putin saying that the attack that happened in Moscow was, you know, the Ukraine, because it was Ukrainian. Whatever shit did I start hearing once I got home? Oh, and then there's the scandal with the interpreter for the Dodgers, for the Otani, who allegedly stole $4 million.
Oh, yeah, I thought about you, and particularly about Jan when I saw that story breaking. That is just a lulu of a story.
But see, this is what I love about this country that just makes me laugh. Because if, you know, some crazy reason that there was this, the interpreter was a black guy, don't you think they would have done a better job of vetting his ass? I mean, now they're saying that he apparently he was supposed to have graduated from UC Riverside or Irvine. And they're like, no, he never, no. And I guess you're supposed to have been an interpreter for the Red Sox or something. No. And you know, it's just been the litany of people who people find out later on ain't what they say.
Oh, I thought all those baseball fans on the Morning Zoo crew were going to have a baby live on air.
Right? I thought Jan. Oh,
Did you have to drag Jan back off the ledge?
Girl. But what the panic is, because he did a press conference today, right? Because there's a game today at 6 o'clock. As part of I think it's either game two or game three of the freeway series. When the Dodgers play the Angels. And so the concern is, the biggest concern is that he was involved, like it was another Pete Rose scandal. But apparently.
It may yet be. Because the story keeps changing.
It keeps fucking changing.
And when a story keeps changing, that generally indicates that somewhere along the way a lie's been told.
Or several. Several.
Remember, at first they were loans, $500,000 at a pop.
Right. First there were loans.
And now it's theft.
Now it's theft. First it was loans, and then it went from loans to he was paying back. He was paying the old boy's gambling debts, and now it's back to no. He was paying his own gambling debts. And so the press conference is, the funny part was, I had picked up this family from the airport because it's my airport day, and I literally was dropped. I was driving through Dodger Stadium because I was cutting through to drop them off at home in Echo Park. And you should have seen the press line, because the game doesn't start until 6 o'clock local time, but there was, You could barely get into the stadium for the press getting into there, so they could be at that that press conference. But like I said, the game doesn't start until 6. And Dodger fans are notoriously late. They don't come unless they're Jan, who wants to get there right at the, you know, she likes to get there like an hour before the game so we can get our zoom zooms and wham whams and a hot dog, you know, blah.
Gotta have a dog at the ballpark.
Yes, of course. So we get there early, and then I promptly go on to the internet and watch something on my phone.
You're such a fan.
And
by the way, Stephen New York said Otani's interpreter. I think I saw it on ESPN that the major leagues are investigating Otani for betting on baseball, and he may go the way of Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe.
Yep.
And of course, of those two, Shoeless Joe, you know, he took the money, but he never altered his play.
Right.
He was innocent of everything except taking the money.
It's like, I'll take the money, motherfucker.
And Steve just followed up and said, Otani is toast.
Yep.
He said, I never bet on baseball or any other sports. And said, I am very saddened and shocked someone I trusted has done this. I never bet on baseball or any other sports. Never have asked somebody to do that on my behalf. And I've never been through a bookmaker to bet on sports. I mean, until a couple of days ago, I didn't know this was happening. In conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well. And he just got that $700 million contract?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's obscene. Oh, and I need to send out some thank yous, because this is a big deal. Thank you to Jude. Jude said, how graciously giving of Kat, kicking in. And our kind anonymous internet friend did as well. And then Kevin in Mass jumped in. So we have met $300 of Kat's keep Robin's head above water challenge. That could be, oh my goodness, such a big deal. It's open till the 31st, but the sooner we meet it, the better off we are, because that's the sooner I pay bills.
Keeping your head above water, making a way when we can't. temporary layoff. Okay.
Good times.
Easy credit ripoff.
You know, when you watch it now, that show is not nearly as funny as people thought it was.
No, it was not. I actually never really thought it was that funny. It's so, you know what? I guess little Tracy Porter was always some, you know, was a low-key militant because, it's not like I knew that everybody in the writer room was not black. There was not one black writer in the writer room for the Jeffersons, for Good Times, for Sanford and Son. And yet, now Sanford and Son is still funny. You big dummy.
Yeah,
I
mean,
still laugh at them.
I remember what a fan of Red Fox Scott in San Diego was.
Yes. And it's so funny. It's like, and da-da-da-da. I mean, that was some funky that was a funky theme song. Well, theme music. I'm hoping that at least the musicians that play for the theme music for Sanford and Son were black. I know Jhené Dubois, who played Winona, was saying, well, we're moving on up. She sang that song, so, okay. And I'm hoping that at least the people that sang the song for Good Times, I hope they were black. I'm not, and the musicians, I'm not even hope, you know, hope beyond hope that at least maybe they even wrote the music, but who knows? I mean, I'm pretty sure I just have to go to Mr. Google and they'll tell me. But yeah, you know, I try, like the other day I was trying, you know, you go back and you rewatch stuff from your childhood and your teen years and your young adult years, you know, for you and I, stuff that, happened, you know, shows from the late 60s on into the 80s and then into the night. And then you rewatch that shit to see what stands up. Golden Girls still stands up. Designing Women still stands up. Living Single still stands up. What about for you? What shows that, I mean, stuff that you know, from our childhood that you watch, I mean, if you even rewatch some of this shit. Is there any?
You know, I was actually talking to somebody the other day about how well all of those Paul Henning shows stand up because they're not particularly dated. The Beverly Hillbillies,
yeah,
and you know Green Acres, where they just, you know, they trashed the fourth wall and it was so absurd. It does,
right.
It's almost like they exist outside of time.
Exactly.
And I feel the same way about the early black and white Andy Griffith shows.
Yes.
Mayberry was a very white place.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention something to you though, because this is delightful. Gino just wrote in a little bit ago, about 10 minutes ago, subject line, octopus. Going back to an earlier conversation, octopus is absolutely delicious, but there is guilt associated with eating them because they are so intelligent. I have a friend who says she can't eat them because she won't eat anything smarter than she is. It's quite noble, Gino says, but I'd starve if I couldn't eat anything smarter than I am. Gino, stop that.
Oh, shit, that's hilarious.
God, yeah, well, when I first read it, I had to mute the mic because, you know, I snorted.
I'm trying to see if I can do a picture, because you know me and camera. I'm trying to see. But now,
looking at my shoulder and my, about how bad this burn is. It is pretty fucking bad. It's pretty, like, ooh. Let's see. If I can do it, because I just, this looks like it ain't pretty. And
I hope never to have a bad enough sunburn to show you what it looks like when I get fried. But I probably will, and if I do, I'll send you the picture. By the way, you got a note from Dave in the Blind. You're welcome, Tracy. I'm glad the aloe vera helped. I'm glad.
Black people get sunburned.
Well, Dave in the Blind said, I'm glad aloe vera helped. Remember, aloe vera has been helping keep people from being...
I'm sending it to you now. So you can say,
aloe vera has been helping keep people from being crispy for centuries.
It is not cute.
I hope Puerto Vallarta was everything you wanted it to be. Have fun and be safe.
Yeah.
And by the way, don't let Roxanne get away with shit. LOL, your buddy Dave in the Blind.
Negro, please put on sunscreen.
Yes. Oh, and the Sanford and Son, by the way, Jimmy in the Great North. Excuse me.
I'm sorry. Did you hear? I'm sorry. It went through the stupid Bluetooth. I just took a picture. Did you get the picture?
Hold on. Oh, girl, you burnt.
Mm-hmm.
That's worse than being ashy.
Girl, that is worse than being ashy, because there's no pain associated with ash. this right here.
Although you could make an argument that that's the true ashy.
Let's see if I can get the picture of the tan line.
Jimmy in the Great Northwest said the Sanford and Son theme. I believe that was Quincy Jones.
Okay, thank God. And you know what? That makes sense. Like I said, I know if I could look it up. And see, now I'm going to send you the picture of the tan line. And what I just showed you is even worse on my back.
Oh, my.
It's mm-mm-mm. My girl, Sarah.
Well, the thing is, though, now that you're peeling, you've really, really got to moisturize.
Oh, yeah.
And Randy Radar said, my mom used to spread Noxzema on us after a day at the beach. It helped, only a bit. Now, since we blew away the ozone layer, I burn in 45 minutes, and the modern weather people say that you'll burn in 30. I burn under the refrigerator bulb, so, you know.
Yeah, we know this.
Got that sunscreen. Fortunately, all of my primer and foundation and stuff for my face is at least SPF 40.
Yeah,
so that helps.
Again, it's like I said, this is not... Never in a million years would I have ever thought. I mean, like I said, I wore sunscreen, but I got to wear some fucking Glock. You know, y'all, please, you know, if I burned, and like I said, bitch, I've been to Panama, and none of this happened.
Do you know why it's particularly dangerous on the beach?
What? Yeah.
Because there's often a freshening breeze coming off the ocean. And so the sun's more intense. And plus, if you're on the sand is reflecting the sunlight back onto you.
Well, see, I never made it to the beach. No, but, you know, your girl was even stupider. She was sitting by the pool, bitch.
Well, okay, the pool reflects, and so does the light-colored concrete. I mean, that's like, I mean, when I go down to the Redneck Riviera, if I ever go again, I have to dip myself by the heel in SPF Avogadro's number in order to even have any hope at all. because that sand is as white as Domino's sugar.
Ooh.
And so with climate change being what it is, you've got tourists who go down there in the summer now, and they're like, the sand was too hot for me to be able to walk on it. Congratulations, you figured it out. Climate change is real.
That part. And let me tell you, sis, it was just like, fuck. I mean, I have never, again, never, ever, never have I ever gotten a, like I said, I've been to Panama.
Uh-huh.
I've been to two sides of the Caribbean, to the Western Caribbean and the Eastern Caribbean.
Well, we were on the Lib Boat cruise. In fact, I was talking to my youngest yesterday because this is her birthday week. She will be 27. Can't believe it. But I said, do you remember the burn? Because she lives in New Mexico now.
Right.
But I said, do you remember the burn you got in the Caribbean when we were on the Lib Boat cruise? And I said, do you remember how kind, and I mentioned someone, his wife just came running up to Doodle and was like, honey, come with me. We got to deal with this. Because Doodle is every bit as fair as I am. And,
ooh.
Oh, she cooked. And she was like, yeah, that's the worst sunburn I've ever had. She said, I still have, you know, leftover mark. And, you know, I'm kind of, the brownest I ever get is when I get a significantly broad patch of freckles. And that's, well, yeah. Oh, my God, this is so big. Thank you so much to Daryl in Houston.
That's what she said.
Here is a have a show on me. $300 to go toward the Keep Robin's Head Above Water Challenge. Keep up the excellent work. Without the mighty, mighty Robin and Malloy, it would be much more difficult to keep up with the fascist plans to transform the USA into Gilead. Oh, thank you so much, Daryl. Thank you so kindly. So we're over half done with Cat's Challenge, going into the third hour of this Monday program.
Woohoo!
Yeah. I mean, and that's for Cat and everybody who's jumping in. That's so huge. Daryl, thank you. So we've got $400 to go on Cat's Challenge, and that'll get us to being fully funded for all but $700. So thank you again, Cat, and we've got a fighting chance of finishing March to the good. By the way, Sylvie writes in and says, the fix is in. Trumple thin skin.
Like that.
Like that a lot. Hey, Sylvie. Trumple Thinskin may not have to pay the full bond, but I guarantee you that money changed hands, whether to bribe or to pay for compromat. Oh, I think you're right, Sylvie. You know, something is rotten in the state of Denmark. Or in this case, Trump Tower.
Rotten in the state of Denmark. Did I tell you about this play I'm going to called Fat Am?
No, what?
It is called Fat Ham, and it is based, it is a queer black take on Hamlet, sis.
Oh, I want to know about this.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it. I think I'm seeing it next month. But yeah, Fat Ham. So it all takes place. So it's about this young man, a young queer black man in the South, bitch, in the South. And his dead father comes back to tell him that somebody murdered him. And why is it taking place at the bar, at the cookout, sis?
No.
Yeah.
Is Fat still, is, well, I got to know, is Fat spelled P-H-A-T?
No, no. Mm-mm. It's F-A-T. It's Fat Ham. I'm sending you the info right now.
Oh, she's going to get all Southern on us.
Mm-hmm. Fat Ham. You know that shit, girl. Mm-hmm.
You missed your calling.
You know, I think about the fact, and this is those things about representation mattering and stuff like that, the trajectory of my life, because I'm a drama queen, I don't even pretend it's how to hide it. But I know that had I seen this better, like if there had been Viola Davis and all these other amazing, because the only actresses that I saw were, you know, were like Butterfly McQueen and Hattie McDaniel. And then not even realizing because of every, you know, every time you saw the amazing late great Miss Cicely Tyson, she was all broke back, toe up, and, you know, and then to see she was beautiful. There's an episode, the very first episode of I Spy, and she played an African princess with her little, with her Afro sis, and Ivan Dixon was playing the guy, he was playing somebody that was...
Wait, Kinslow?
Huh?
Kinslow?
Say that one more time.
Kinslow. Kinch. Ivan Dixon. Hogan's Heroes.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
He was on the very first... He was on the pilot episode, sis, of I Spy. You know, when we still like Bill Cosby. Because he was one of the good Negroes.
Jello pudding pop.
So, it's like, yeah. So, Ivan Dixon, yes. He was so... Oh, to watch that episode and to see... I'm like, I don't know who directed that episode, but Ivan was really militant in telling people to shut up. He was, he had defected, or he was going to defect to China, and basically said, because he was kind of, I guess, kind of like the Muhammad Ali character, what has America done for me? And, you know, I don't know if he was a boxer or what. But, yeah. But, yes, yeah, so we're going to go. Fat Ham is a dramatic stage play written by American playwright James I. James. It is a modern-day adaptation of William Shakespeare's Hamlet. The play was awarded the 2022 Pulitzer Prize for Drama and was nominated for 5 Tony Awards, including Best Play. And the move is the synopsis real quick. Juicy is a young queer black man. Is confronted by the ghost of his father during a barbecue who demands that Juicy avenge his murder. Juicy, already familiar with Hamlet's plight, tries to break the cycles of trauma and violence. Yes, Bad Ham. And I think, actually, there might be because I think this came out during COVID and at the first time or what have you. So they videoed the play, and then after COVID, I guess that's when they actually had it on. They actually did it, you know, the screen version, the actual, you know, actual play. But come on, Hamlet is taking place instead of wait, is it Scottish castle? Now we talk about in the backyard barbecue in the South. Woo! I mean, how much more could you ask for?
Who
could ask for?
That's all of it.
Who could ask for anything more?
So wait, hold on. If he's queer, does that mean there's no Ophelia in the play?
I don't know. I'm going to find out when I go see it.
When do you see it again?
In 2 weeks, I think. Let me check my calendar.
Okay.
Bat Ham. The 17th of April.
Oh, wow.
So 2 weeks. And then the following, we get to go see Funny Girl.
Oh.
I said Jan the synopsis of the play, And I said, you want to go see this? She's like, yeah, no. Nah. And I'm like, okay, good. I was really hoping she would say no. And she did. But we are going to go. She is coming with me to go see Funny Girl.
That'll be a delight.
So that is like, isn't that the first Tony that Barbara Streisand won? Didn't she win it for Funny Girl?
Nah, I don't know.
I know she. I could just Google the shit, but I don't feel like it. So I'm pretty sure somebody's already Googling it because the play and Omar Sharif. Holy mother of God. Woo. Yeah, Tracy would have given him some. Mm-hmm. Back in the day. Shut up.
I'm shutting up.
Shut up. So I'm excited about seeing that. I mean, this is one of those things that I wish you could be here to watch it with me, because I know how much you love Shakespeare and all that good stuff. But yeah.
Oh, I love me some Shakespeare.
I know you love you some. I know.
But
I'm not one of those.
I'm not one of those purists who objects to taking Shakespeare and reworking some of the stories, because he was reworking stories to begin with. The story of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, was a known story when he wrote the play. Most of the comedies and such that are set in Italy are set there for a reason. Romeo and Juliet, same. I enjoy something like that. Do you remember the outrage when, what was it, Shakespeare in the Park in New York?
Right.
Did a production of Julius Caesar, and Julius Caesar wore a navy blue suit with a too long red tie?
Oh.
They're glorifying the assassination of our dear leader.
Whatever. One can dream, can't we?
One may and one does.
You know, again, I try. You know, you don't want to wish evil onto people, but. Oh my God, I just sent you the, I'm looking at the, I just sent you the link to the cast that's playing here at the Geffen. Just beautiful, beautiful black people. And even the understudies are beautiful.
So, Ralph's serving as the Barbara Streisand ad hoc research department. Just sent me the list of, Barbara's wins, and yes, in 1969 she got the Best Actress Oscar for Funny Girl.
Okay, what about her Tony? Because I know she's an EGOT.
God, there's so many. I'm still at G. Tony's, 1970 Star of the Decade, 1964 Best Actress in a Musical, nominated for Funny Girl, and 1962 Best Featured Actress in a Musical, nominated for I Can Get It For You Wholesale.
Oh, damn.
And she also got another Academy Award for Best Original Song for Evergreen. She was nominated for Best Picture for The Prince of Tides, nominated for Best Original Song in 1997 for I Finally Found Someone, and she was nominated in 1974 for The Way We Were.
Wow.
I want to go back to Trump for a second, Tracy, just because this is so good.
Why?
Hey, we do politics here. After Nitwit Nero barked and grunted today and told a huge lie, I mean, really? Anybody surprised? He said he won the fraud case on appeal because his bond got cut.
No, bitch. No, bitch. No, bitch.
Judge Engoron has refused to obey the decision of the appellate division relative to the statute of limitations. This is a confrontation between a judge and those that rule above him, a very bad situation in which to place New York State in the rule of law. Engoron is disrespected the appellate division and its very clear and precise ruling. He did no such thing. He should be made to do so and at the same time release the gag order. This is the fifth time in this case that he's been overturned. A record wasn't. I did nothing wrong, and New York should never be put in a position like this again. Businesses are fleeing, violent crime is flourishing, and it is very important that this be resolved in its totality as soon as possible. Thank you. So we got that. And because this campaign really is banging on all eight cylinders, the Biden-Harris campaign, thank you, Ralphs, for this, issued a statement today. Donald Trump is weak and desperate, both as a man and a candidate for president. He spent the weekend golfing, the morning comparing himself to Jesus, and the afternoon lying about having money he definitely doesn't have. His campaign can't raise money. He's uninterested in campaigning outside his country club, and every time he opens his mouth, he pushes moderate and suburban voters away with his dangerous agenda. America deserves better than a feeble, confused, and tired Donald Trump. Isn't that just pro?
Democrats are finally growing a set. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's some news that just hit my feed. I don't miss having a feed. Here we go, and I'm pretty sure you've already talked about it. Prayer, Bible lessons, and a big red bus. How an Ohio group is bringing God to public school.
Oh, I saw that. That kind of had Wednesday written all over it.
Yes. Likewise, so you, because you already saw it, but so we'll table that for prayer meeting Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
But this is some bullshit. Oh,
yeah, I know.
Oh. And remember, y'all, I be a follower of the Christ. And so that just reminds me, you know, they're coming after the old boy. They're still coming after him for his speech at the Academy Awards about the occupation of Palestine and how he is renouncing.
Ooh. Self-hating Jew, Ooh. the usual slurs. But hey, I know a lot of people are upset with President Biden over the slaughter in Gaza, but something happened today. The UN Security Council called on Israel and Hamas to cease fire.
Yeah, permanency, yes.
And here's the thing. The United States abstained. We did not use our veto.
Ooh, yeah, that's that part. Right. We did not use our veto. And people are hotter than fish grease. Or better yet, hotter than the sun rays on my very delicate black skin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, back to Ivan Dixon. Theo with a note said, subject line, so long, Patrick Henry. Ivan Dixon had starred on Broadway in A Raisin in the Sun and made films like Nothing But a Man and A Patch of Blue when he played Bolly Jackson, who had an antagonistic relationship with Culp, and Bill Cosby's characters, Hogan's Heroes, came later.
So this was after? That makes sense, because Hogan's Heroes was filmed in color, right?
Not the early ones.
Okay, yeah, oh no! If you get a chance to, I'm pretty sure you could find that on YouTube somewhere. It's, and just to see Cicely Tyson before she played, you know, broke back and toe back and, you know, toe up and a blow up. For years, I did not realize just how beautiful Cicely Tyson was. And if I had, again, it's one of those, I really think, had I seen more positive images of black women in TV and film and stuff like that, I probably would have tried to become an actress. I think I probably would have been pretty good at it too, with training. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hard damn work.
I'm not dead yet. Who knows? Who knows what might happen? You know, they're always looking for, who knows? I might be, what was her name? The older black woman.
Oh.
Irma T. Hall, I think. She was in, she was in quite a few TV. I think it was her name was Irma P. Hall. And I don't think she started acting until she was in her 60s. I think that was her name. And she she was no joke. Wait a minute. She's still alive. She's 88 years old, y'all.
Oh, my.
She'll be 89 on June 3rd. Irma Dolores Player Hall is an American actress who appeared in films and television. Well, she's been on the scene since the 70s, but you didn't see her in any, I never really saw her in anything until she was older. So she is born June 3rd, 1935, from Beaumont, Texas. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. She was in the. Did you ever see the remake? She was in the Lady Killers.
I don't think I saw.
It wasn't all that good, but she was amazing in it. And the movie A Family Thing with James Earl Jones and I believe Robert Duvall. Robert Duvall finds out that I think it was his mother was actually black. I love movies like that when white people find out that they're black.
I'm
a Negro? Yes, Dad, you're a Negro. I just wish every redneck, racist, white supremacist had, you know, we would have to do, you know, in order to prove their whiteness, had to do a DNA test just to see how much Negro is in that. You know? Could you imagine if Mitch McConnell and Ms. Lindsey found out that there was some Negro blood in them? Ooh.
It's the South.
I mean, but you're from the South, and you did your DNA test, and didn't it just confirm that you're whiter than you actually thought you were?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I finally sorted that out. At first, I was kind of proud because it was like, well, that means that none of the men ever went down to the quarters.
That's a good thing.
But then I realized, wait a minute. That just means all the men were broke-ass white trash.
Yeah, well.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. Because Southern men did not, no. You know.
Mm-hmm. That part. I'm still looking. I can't stop. It's like, you know how you can't look away from a train wreck or a car accident? I can't stop looking up my birth. Oh, Jesus. And then like I said, when I get home, I'll have Jan take a picture of my back so you can just see just how dark
I got. I mean, the only reason why my face isn't as dark as the rest of my back is because I did have enough sense to wear a hat the whole time I was there. Other than that, please, y'all, don't fuck around. And, you know, like I said, and I thank you. I didn't even think about this fact. You know, this burn is definitely a result of the diminishing ozone layer, because bitch, that sun was, I have seen some bright ass sun, but that shit, nope. So at some point, if we don't get, I don't know if we're on the point of no return when it comes to the ozone layer, but we're going to have to start using sunblock 2000.
Well, yeah. I mean, it basically, we're all just going to be walking around. You know that zinc oxide that you put on your nose, like surfers and stuff?
Right, right.
Yeah, we're just going to all look like that.
Right.
We're going to look like the aliens from the Star Trek movie with Chris Pine.
Yes. Oh, and so they're actually, there is a thing, because one of the things about sunblock and sunscreen, that shit does not go well with black folks. It makes you look like you have a layer of ash. But they actually have sunscreen for black people, and it's called sunscreen for black people. I think it's called Black Girl Sunscreen or something like that. And I think it goes from 30 to 100, I think. Is 100 a thing?
I think so.
Yeah, it's called Sunscreen for Black Girls. And they have a website, but they sell it at Ulta. And they sell it at Target.
Yes, Target.
Target.
I wonder if they sell it at Jacques Pinet.
No, they do not. So it's called Black Girl Sunscreen SPF 30, and then they have, so it's like sunscreen made for women of color, for people of color, because we get sunburned too. We have created a sunscreen for everyday use filled with key ingredients that will protect your skin from the sun and doubles as a moisturizing lotion. Black Girl Sunscreen dries completely clear, so it's perfect to use before any outdoor activity or even under your favorite makeup products. So yeah, so they have, oh, and they even have it like for when you go out in the water and stuff like that. It's, yep.
Well, you mentioned now at Sephora, they don't carry this at Ulta, but I like this stuff. It's a brand called Ilia. Super Serum Skin Tint SPF 40, and it goes all the way from my shade, which is 0.5. called Sky, which is better than calling it, you know, ghost-like.
Stop.
Shut up. But it goes all the way up to very, very dark shades of black or brown.
Like Lupita, I fuck up the girl's name, but you know who I'm trying to
say.
Yeah,
and that stuff is SPF 40. And then there is a primer. It's CC cream per bell, color correcting, moisturizing makeup base and foundation. It's SPF 43, and its active ingredient is titanium dioxide. And it's the damnedest thing. I mean, it just makes everything, even?
Right.
And so, I don't know if that stuff's cumulative, but if I use that and, you know, I tell myself that I'm at SPF 83, I'm probably wrong.
Well, this stuff goes from SPF 30 to 50. Yeah, I said 50.
They got 30, 45, 50. And then they have a Make It Pop lip gloss with SPF. I mean, these are things that I...
Now you know.
Now I know.
You won't go back to Mexico without that stuff in your bag.
Bitch, it will be in my carry. It will be in the carry-on or the purse. So just in case I get separated from my toiletries, I will be okay. There will be that and aloe vera gel in my bag. No matter the season, there's always a reason to protect your skin. SPF is a crucial step in skincare that should never be skipped. Reduce your risk of skin cancer, discoloration, and wrinkles by applying Black Girl Sunscreen Broad Spectrum SPF as well as your daily routine. Yeah, I'm going to have to do better with the whole sunscreen. You know, like I said, I didn't even think about, and somebody, whoever brought it up, thank you for pointing it out, about the reduction of the ozone layer and stuff like that. Because, shit, bitch is going to burn. And I really don't like the idea of you know, burning any, not a good look. Thank God, the good news is, thank God that my face didn't burn. Because at least I had enough sense to wear a fucking hat. And we know why, though, because mama don't go nowhere without her hair being covered because, you know, bald spots. That part right there.
Exactly.
You know. I'm definitely going to have to up my sunscreen game. Because, in a million years, and like I said, I was not, you know, naive to the fact that Black folks get sun. I never forget my former fiance, and we had gone somewhere, and I was wherever we went. And I took off my bathing suit, and he's like, "You have tan lines." I'm like, "Motherfucker, I got skin, right?"
Yeah.
I mean, we get darker. I mean, it's to the point where, especially when I was younger, and especially, you know, like when my mom was a kid and before, generation before, is dark skinned women. People, but especially women, we were told not to play in the sun because you did not want to get any darker because colorism. Oh my God! Speaking of colorism, sis, holy shit! Watching you talk about an anthropological study. So while of us, you know, because of course, you know, I'm going to see shit that white people and most people are not going to see at all. So I'm watching, you know, the caste system in play right before my very eyes of who did what at the resort. Definitely based. So, like, the dark-skinned, the ones that were more indigenous people, yeah, they were the housekeepers and the groundkeepers, right? And the lighter you got, the higher position you are at the resort. I didn't see not one dark-skinned person in management. And it even gets to the point where it's all, you know, they all have different color uniforms depending on their where they are in the cast. And I'm just sitting there watching this shit, and I'm like, y'all all Mexicans. Well, there might be some, you know, Central Americans as well, and, you know,
but the, you know, or people from, you know, South America, but the majority of the staff there was Mexican. And again, watching, and just the way, and it was like they were not to be seen or heard. You like when they would come around cleaning, especially like in the restaurants and stuff, I say good morning to somebody and they just like kind of lower their eyes. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. You know, and it was just to watch that, it was just like, oh my God. And then, okay. Oh, another thing. So we had American TV. So obviously Universal and TNT and all those stations, Universal is like their version of Peacock. So it was all the Chicago. So you talk, you know, Chicago Med, Fire stuff, and the Law and Order, right? But then, of course, but you saw the commercial. No dark-skinned people in the commercial. But you know what was refreshing, sis? Not one commercial for pharmaceuticals. Not a one. So there was no Ozempic and all these, you know, song and dance numbers to sell pharmaceuticals. Not one commercial from a pharmaceutical company. Because, of course, those are the things that, you know, because I love it when I pick people up from, you know, from their vacation after they've stayed here for a while and they're going back to the airport from other countries. And the first thing, if they even bother to watch American television, one of the first things they say are, oh, my God, I've never seen somebody, you know, we don't have pharmaceutical commercials in insert country. It's not a thing. But just like I said, but watching like the commercials for what, you know, they have the commercials for like the over the counter stuff like Tylenol and stuff like that. But as far as actual, you know, prescription medicines, nope. It's actually a wonderful thing to see, or not see rather. But to never see, you know, to go 6 days. But the best part is like, you know, like I said, watching everything in Spanish and then understanding what they're saying because I'm working on my Spanish. It's pretty cool. That part.
No kidding, yeah.
You know, so, but anywho, I just, Robin, I know we're, you know, we could be a ragtag group and, how do you really think that he is actually going to, you know, get convicted on any felony? Do you think?
Well, if we can get past the perfidy of Aileen Cannon, if any other judge had it, the Florida case would be a slam dunk.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it's a slam dunk for the one in D.C. too.
Which one? Okay, which one is the one
that's,
in D.C.?
That's the January 6th.
Oh, right.
I don't feel great about the one in Atlanta just because I feel like there's too much skullduggery going on.
Right.
And that's not me saying there's prosecutorial misconduct. Nope. I think the fact that she's up for re-election and so is the judge, I would not want to be in that position if I were Fani Willis.
No.
And, of course, her competition is a big old maggot, Fani Willis's is.
So then what are they trying to drag this shit up? They're hoping to get it.
And there's actually a motion to dismiss pending in the Fulton County case based upon his free speech rights. And it's kind of wearisome. But the thing is that we do have to take this into account. There are people handing. There are people who are just outright saying that. You know, he's even if he cannot stop what Letitia James has done, and in fact, this would be a good time to roll the clip because this was from My Filthy Morning Habit today.
Business empire today
is the deadline
for Trump to put up a bond of nearly half a billion dollars in the civil fraud case against him. It comes as the former president expected to be in a New York courtroom shortly for a hearing for the hush money case. NBC News senior legal correspondent Laura Jarrett has the latest.
This morning, the former president is out of time. As soon as today, New York's attorney general may begin collecting more than $450 million from Donald Trump, the penalty for losing his civil trial for financial fraud. Rejected by some 30 different insurers, Mr. Trump now forced to cover the massive fine on his own as he tries to appeal the ruling from February, finding him liable for lying about his wealth to get better deals from lenders.
No one's ever seen a bond this size. Every single person, when I came to them saying, hey, can I get a $500 million bond? Maria, they were laughing.
The judge originally fined Mr. Trump $355 million, a figure that has continued to balloon with more than $100,000 in interest, racking up each day.
We have a lot of cash and we have a good company, but they want to take it away.
The former president's legal team asked an appeals court to intervene, but with no immediate relief, all of his assets, buildings, houses, even bank accounts are now potentially in play, a move the attorney general previewed last month.
If he does not have funds to pay off the judgment, then we will seek, judgment enforcement mechanisms in court, and we will ask the judge to seize his assets.
While Mr. Trump tries to fend off a personal financial crisis, his criminal exposure has not faded. Facing charges of hiding a hush money payment to a porn star before the 2016 election, the presumptive GOP nominee had been set to begin a trial in that case in a Manhattan courtroom today, but it's been bogged down in delays. Mr. Trump back in court today as the judge mulls a defense team request for even more time.
Let's bring in NBC News legal analyst Catherine Christian. It's great to have you on the show. Where to begin? What are the best options, I guess, if you were a Donald Trump attorney, as it pertains to the bond at this point? Are there any?
There aren't any. If Donald Trump does not come up with the bond or the cash, now, just Friday, I think he says he has $500 million. So if he doesn't put that $500 million toward it, the attorney general, she's already started the process in Westchester County, which is a suburb north of New York City, where there are two big properties where Trump has. She's going to start, she meaning Letitia James, putting liens on his properties, finding out where his bank accounts are, and trying to freeze those accounts. It's a long process, it's a legal process, but just like last week, she's made it clear she's starting the process.
This is an extraordinary day for the former president, not just this deadline, but also a major hearing in his criminal case in New York City, the hush money case. What's your assessment? I know we talked last week about this document dump that SDNY dropped on the DA. The DA has said much of it is duplicative. This isn't going to slow things down much at all, and suggested that a trial could start in about a month's time, so the delay would be relatively minimal. Do you think that is realistic? Do you think we'll get that decision today?
Well, I think we will. First of all, I'll say that just because the district attorney's office says don't worry about all those thousands of documents, they're not relevant, that doesn't make it true. But the defendant in this case has to show that he was prejudiced in some way. He can't really show that because the trial hasn't started. No witness has been called. So if Michael Cohen had been cross-examined and then suddenly a document dump, clearly he's prejudiced. But even in that case, the court would not dismiss the indictment. They would just call the witness back on the stand and then you get a chance to cross-examine him. The judge, bottom line, had to do this, had to delay the trial because under New York law, once there's a late disclosure of documents, the defendant has to be given a reasonable time to review it. The question is 30 days reasonable? Is 45? 65 is 90. So we'll find out from the judge today whether he believes 30 days is a reasonable amount of time to delay this trial.
So, Catherine, if Trump fails to meet the deadline today on the bonding issue and the attorney general proceeds with the acquisition of his properties in very Westchester County, wherever, if he meets the deadline and the bonding issue on Wednesday or Thursday of this week, does her process, as the attorney general's process, stop?
Well, you know what? He will, if that happens, the court will decide, okay, I know the deadline was Monday, but now you've met the bond and now you've paid the money. So that will be the decision for the judge. He was actually given 30.
Yeah, the fascinating thing with this clip is everybody's assuming that that maybe there'd be a miracle and he'd pull a rabbit out of his hat and have the money. I don't think anybody was expecting this vulgar miscarriage of justice that happened today.
No.
They were not. They were not expecting the appellate court to bring in the fix.
Right.
Another thing that's interesting, Tracy, that I saw, a forensic psychiatrist who also is a professor of forensic and general psychiatry at the University of British Columbia. Hey, Brother Deacon. Has said that the way he walks, his gait, G-A-I-T, is an indication that he may be well into behavioral variant frontotemporal dementia, and that he should be examined for it.
But they're not going to do that.
No, but Dr. Elizabeth Zoffman said that his problems extend far beyond his word salad, his inability to construct a coherent sentence. There's an interview with Dr. Zoffman over at Salon by Chauncey DeVega, and she said her observations are garnered from viewing the phenomenon of Mr. Trump for the past decade, also observations from viewing old videotape interviews and coverage of Mr. Trump as a younger man, form part of my impression that Mr. Trump might well benefit from a thorough evaluation by a neuropsychiatrist with expertise in neurodegenerative disorders. She said, there's a decline in cognitive focus on speech subjects with incomplete sentences and an inability to focus on a topic long enough to complete a sentence when not reading from a teleprompter, disinhibition, and an inability to control verbal outbursts. And she said, his movement and gait, his walk appears wide-based, and he's developed a swing of his right leg. He appears glued to the floor when he dances for his audience. If caught on camera standing still, he appears unnaturally immobile. And added, my clinical experience and those collected observations are congruent with the diagnostic criteria for behavioral variant frontotemporal dementia. People presenting with such a cluster of observations should undergo expert assessment. This diagnosis is often largely based on external observations and collateral reporting from others close to the person.
Yikes.
In Mr. Trump's case, the overall picture is consistent with behavioral variable frontotemporal dementia, with the caveats mentioned about needing a thorough eval, including an MRI brain scan. The associated disinhibition exposes unfortunate aspects of his personality and worldview, where he repeatedly dehumanizes anyone he sees as the other. And she said, FTD is a progressive neurodegenerative disorder that leads to progressive deterioration and early death. Once again, I caution that my observations combined with those of other experts should lead to a thorough assessment by a neuropsychiatrist expert in the diagnosis and management of neurodegenerative disorders. And so we go back to the words of the prophet Todd, Sage Todd. Y'all, he ain't gonna make it.
One can only hope. Again, I'm not one to wish death on people, sis, but you know what? That's the only way he's gonna be stopped.
Yes, peacefully and legally, Agent Fred.
Yes, peacefully and legally, yes.
Natural processes.
you know, I'm not the only, because this, I don't see any other way out of this nightmare, sis. I don't. I mean, of course, it'll make him a martyr, but I'll take him being a martyr over him being alive.
Or more, and more particularly, being able to hurt anyone anymore.
That part.
By the way, you got a note from Christopher. Welcome home, Tracy and Jan. Glad to hear you had a great time. Sorry about the sunburn. Whoa. You mean to say the suspiciously large award-winning white people dancing Ozempic lady is banned from Mexican TV? Well, I'll be darned.
Yes.
Oh, Ozempic.
Yeah, no.
And Matt in San Francisco, no singing. By the way, thank you, Theo. We are now down to $390 to go on Kat's Let's Keep Robin's Head Above Water Challenge. Kat, I will never be able to thank you enough. And thanks to everybody jumping in on this. Thank you so much. If we knocked out some more of that, as well, we're coming to the end of the program, but we've hit a big lick this evening, y'all, and there will be a program tomorrow. Yay! Because the internet provider will be extra happy as soon as I'm off the air. Matt in San Francisco, brain scan. Pretty sure the test would come up negative. Matt, nothing but spirochetes. Nothing but spirochetes. Shrieking each to each. I swear. Nobody ever really brings it up, and, you know, this Dr. Zoffman is quite the expert, but tertiary syphilis acts a lot like that, too.
Yep. Yep.
Not saying. Just saying.
Yes, sir. I'm just, again, I just want whatever happens, whether he be in jail or, you know, whatever happens, I just hope it happens before the election.
Yeah. And I mentioned the free speech First Amendment claims in Georgia. Judge Scott McAfee today said there will be a hearing on Thursday, the 28th day of March, to dismiss the case based on his First Amendment right to free speech. Now, he has already dismissed two similar motions that were brought by Kenneth Cheesebro and the Kraken lawyer, Squidney Powell. See what I did there? Kraken, Squidney.
Ah. The Kraken.
But interestingly, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's report on it said that in order for him to pursue a First Amendment defense, the first thing he would have to do is admit that everything he said about the 2020 election being rigged were false.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And over the weekend, I don't know if you saw this, he made a big deal out of the fact that he became club champion of his own little tacky golf motel club, country club.
You mean with the bed bugs and all?
Yeah. But yeah,
it was a wonderful day. Such an honor.
Oh, I'm sure you're so proud. You gave yourself another award. How sweet.
It's like, it just makes you think of Nancy Pelosi at his State of the Union address when she did that, like, with such a big boy clap.
Yeah, look at who can potty all by himself.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Aren't
well, Tracy,
proud.
I'm going to... I'm
going to
roll.
I see people are possibly approaching my cab. Oh, God. Nobody. No grow mash. He's walking. This man is walking to me with leopard print sweatshirt. I got to go. This is just too much.
Run,
I love
girl.
You.
Run. Run from the man. Run from the man with the leopard print.
Oh, Jesus. I love you. Talk to you later.
Love
Bye.
You. See you, baby. Bye. And so. Oh, no. No. Fellas, please, no leopard print. Leave that to us girls. Uh, message coming in from Reverbo. The thing is, if you have the resources to keep going, you can linger on. Trump has the resources, and somehow he keeps going. But let's not equate lingering with thriving. My mom is lingering in a skilled nursing facility, but definitely not thriving. I'm so sorry, Reverbo. I'm so terribly sorry. I'm going to go ahead and ring off because they shut down the bill pay thing at my internet provider at 8, so I want to get that call made. Thanks, everybody. Thanks so much for responding to Kat's challenge. Kat, thank you for making it. Thank you for the challenge, Ralphs. We got $390 to go to finish Kat's challenge. Thanks to everybody who jumped in. Thanks for the Have a Show on Me. Thanks for the two-thirds of a Have a Show on Me. Thanks to everybody who jumped in. Thank you, Jude. Thank you, a kind, anonymous internet friend. Thank you, Theo. If I missed anybody, I apologize. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger in Oregon. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, please like and subscribe when you download the podcast, please. And leave a review or a comment. It helps the algorithm see that people are interacting with the program. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Remember, WhiteRoseSociety.org goes dark on June 1st. If there's anything there you want, go get it. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 25 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe, get your booster, see when the next one's coming out. COVID can still kill. And we don't want that happening to anybody. No one in this community. Don't even want you getting sick with it. Wear your mask if you're around the maggots because they tend to be disease vectors. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance as best you can. And if Nitwit Nero comes shambling toward you with his awkward gait, babbling about,
I won today. I won. I win. I'm the winner.
I'll avoid him like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Wayne and Gina, it's all for you. Later.